数と現実に遺跡を閉じて個性を磨け結界悩むなんだよまた一つ消去頭からケツまでそれが我がエンタメだまだ信じないさ火を解いたシャラマジケットバスでもっと舞い上がって Everybody put your hands up サフライリー翼になれ見てみたいな宇宙になれる気みんなが成長期新世界だね Everybody put your hands up
All right, everybody. I know it's been a long hiatus, but the Speakeasy is at least temporarily back for a short amount of time in 2019 because I'm going as press to Otakon, and I brought a few other notable people here to talk about Otakon. This crew might actually come back again just before Anime NYC, so at least there'll be two Speakeasy-type things for 2019. Otherwise, let us talk about Otakon before Otakon with me, Alan Mendez of Reverse Thieves, and...
Carl from Ogue Maniacs.
And I'm Patrick from the cockpit.
For a while now, Otakon has been at Washington, D.C. I feel like at this point, it's pretty settled there. Although, I feel like just with a few things that we'll talk about later on, I don't think it's ever fully recovered from the Baltimore move. Which is weird because I feel the space is so much nicer.
Yeah, I do think the space is so much nicer, but I've talked to people before about how, like, Otakon just feels different to them. Like, it's not the con they enjoy anymore. I don't feel that's the case because a lot of the things that were at the old Otakon are at the new Otakon, and I realize that not everybody has the same priorities that I do.
I would say, I think there's a couple pieces to that. I think, like, Baltimore, for all its faults, made Otakon feel like Otakon, like, invaded and took over the city. Even if it was just the inner harbor, it felt like it was Otakon City for the weekend. It made it feel special. You don't get that in D.C., and you just never can because D.C. is too big of a city and it's a big tourist city. It's the same as doing a con in New York. The other part is D.C. is more expensive and hurt. Going there for a lot of people, it's just a more expensive place to go, and it's not really more expensive to travel to, but more expensive hotels and food is more expensive and things like that hurt it. And I think there's a level of it feels like Otakon has made like a conscious decision to not be the industry con. It's a fan con. It's always been a fan con, and I think fandom has changed. This is a much deeper discussion than we can have right now. And I think, like, the big event is the big industry stuff, like AX, and that's what Anime NYC is becoming. And Otakon is so much more fan-oriented that it feels like this is kind of its size, almost.
I think I agree with you, but that's also the reason why I prefer Otakon over...
Oh, yeah, no, I agree with you, too. I'm not saying it's bad. I think Otakon is very good for being that kind of con, and that's why people like us really enjoy going to it. But I think, like, it has an impact on its growth versus, like, an AX, what that's actively courting major industry presence.
I agree.
This is all looking from the outside. So I don't know what it's actually like on the inside regard, but yeah.
I bring it up mostly because Bluefin and who's the other company?
I don't remember.
There's like Bluefin and another major dealer who have been there in the past are not going to be there this year.
Bluefin not being there was really surprising because it's pretty big dealer. They're the guys that sell all the Gunpla and then they're just not going to be here.
And I mean, this doesn't say volumes, but the fact that the Grand Order, like, roadshow isn't going to be there. I mean, they're going to be at Anime NYC. And obviously they were at, like, the big, like, the mega big West Coast. And they were, like, Anime Central. But I feel like not being at Otakon, if it was the only Grand Order roadshow not being there was the sole thing, I'd just think, oh, maybe they just skipped it. But it also not being there, it just feels like...
Well, Grand Order, I would say, is a different thing because that's definitely a business agreement type thing. And I would, and I think that speaks to the whole they're not trying to be an industry thing.
But it feels like they're out of the big boy league.
They're getting overshadowed by other cons. Yeah, that's absolutely what it feels like.
I think the big boy league is actually the for-profit con league, and that's a big difference, is that Otakon is still not for profit, AX is very much for profit, Anime NYC is very much for profit. They basically, the industry runs the show, essentially, at those cons, for better or for worse, I think kind of for worse, but I think Otakon, just being the largest fan-oriented con, is a good badge to have, even if you don't necessarily get Bluefin and stuff. I mean, it might hurt them in some ways, maybe in terms of their bottom line or the ability to do more, but at least, I mean, we are getting...
I mean, their bottom line is perfectly fine.
Like the Japanese guest this year, I think, is pretty damn solid. And so if that's, you know, if this is the thing we kind of lose, but we still get the Japanese presence that we do at Otakon, then I'm perfectly happy with it.
I felt like up until the move, it always felt like Otakon was keeping pace with the big boy con, with the for-profit cons. And I feel like this is the first time.
Well, like, Otakon's hit was 2 years before leaving Baltimore, and it's kind of settled into its size since then. Like, it had its big drop-off before leaving Baltimore and never came back big after that. It's still big. It's still a ton of people. It's still really fun. It's just not 100,000. If anything, I don't want it to get bigger, to be completely honest.
I mean, yeah, I would rather it stay like this than become CorpoCon.
I mean, I've said this to you guys, that I think we've got 2 or 3 good years at Anime NYC left before it becomes just another AX.
Yeah,
it sounds great, right?
I actually just remembered why the people I knew were just like, Otakon, I don't recognize anymore. I'm not sure if I want to go back next year. It's because it was the year where Mecha was the theme, and me and you, everyone here, like me, Alan Pass, were just like, hell yes, this is a fantastic convention. They're just like, there's nothing to do here. Why are all the panels so boring? I'm like, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
I think, yeah, Otakon is, I think, in a good place. It's not the place that every other con is, but that might be to its advantage. I feel like it stands out more as a result. You know, it's not getting no fancy Japanese, like, Love Live concerts or anything like that, but...
Frankly, the concert they have at Otakon this year is more interesting than anything AX had.
Yeah.
But, or one of the concerts at Otakon this year. We can get to that in a minute, but...
So, since Carl mentioned the Japanese guests are still good, if everybody could pick, like, one guest or band or something like that, some person like that or group that they are excited to see, who would it be?
Okay, there's two. Based on, because I feel like one answer is the answer we'll all share, and the other one is the one that I want to point out. First is Imaishi, Hiroki Imaishi from Studio Trigger. Yeah. He's a big deal. I think, yeah, he directed Gurren Lagann, right?
Yeah, he directed Gurren Lagann, he directed Kill la Kill, and he directed Promare.
Yeah, he's a big deal. At Studio Trigger, he's someone who, like, when people think of the Trigger style, he's a huge influence on it, and he's still, I think he still has really shown up at convention, American conventions, and so I think, even though I've been to a million Trigger panels at this point, because he shows up at Anime Next, they show up at Otakon, they show up at this and that, this one I want to attend. Sadly, I cannot attend the premiere because I have a scheduling conflict. My panel is literally during it, one of my panels. But I'm really looking forward to seeing what he has to say. Okay, so I'll leave it at that, and then maybe I'll circle around to the other person I was thinking of, in case you guys feel like, you know, you're having some trouble picking things.
Imaishi is one I really want to see. I'm going to try and do the Trigger panel. I can't go to any of the Promare stuff either, because it's against Otabrew. Like, I bought tickets to the theatrical screening that's happening in September. We did, I think. I made that decision regardless of the scheduling conflict, because I just don't want to give up 5 hours of my Saturday at a con to see a movie, honestly. Yeah, so I just kind of made that decision. But I'm really excited to see Imaishi.
Plus, I feel like the Trigger movie is one of the few movies that, like, you'd actually have to go, like, way in advance, because there are still enough of a, like, known name that, like, even the regular randos will go see it.
Again, he directed Gurren Lagann and Kill la Kill. He is known. Trigger is really known. But the annoying thing is they have a Promare panel after the movie screening, which I would have liked to go to, but I'm not going to be able to make it to that. Everyone should go to that and tell me how great it was so I can be jealous. I am going to try and get his autograph on my Gurren Lagann box set because it's already autographed by a bunch of other Trigger people.
I should probably get that too.
Also, like, autographs are stressful.
Especially Trigger, I think.
Was the obvious one that you were going to say Furia?
No, it's actually, because, you know, I've seen her at Anime NYC. The other one is Inoue Kikuko.
Yeah, I'm actually very into seeing her, even though, like, she doesn't do a ton of stuff that I'm super into. But she's a legend.
Yeah, and she hasn't... I think she was at Otakon before, and it was, like, over 10 years ago at this point.
Yeah, I mean, like, she's Beldandi, so, like, she is extremely important to a certain class of old-school fan now.
Also, like, last time she was there, someone asked the forbidden question, so I'm surprised that she... I mean, maybe it's why she's taken 10-plus years to come back. They asked her about her early career.
Oh, yeah.
But then, and the thing, I don't know what shows that she's working on now exactly, but I feel like...
She's in Mix, which is airing right now. She was Macrophage in Cells at Work.
Yes, okay, because I was thinking about how each generation of anime fan of otaku has, like, their own... What role of Inoue do you, like, have you fallen in love with? It's...
I mean, for an entire generation, it's Nurse Joy.
Yeah, there's Beldandi, and then there's also Mizuho, the teacher from Onegai Teacher. That's a big one. Like, so I'm just curious to see what kind of people show up. Eclectic mix of fans.
I always tell people to go to Toru Furia's stuff, because he's a super fun guest. He just has a good time in his panels. If they do a lot of Q&A, he'll, like, recite voices for... He'll do lines for any of his famous characters.
And he just seems to know the, like, how to do the rhythm of the, especially the American con, which I think is something that, like, certain guests just don't get.
The other big thing, probably to me, guest-wise, is the New Jabez tribute concert that's happening on Friday. Basically, they got everybody else who worked on Samurai Champloo with New Jabez together to do, like, a big tribute concert at Otakon, which is just really cool. Unfortunately, Fat John, who's a DJ that is, like, the other big guy on that soundtrack, really, he's probably, like, the second most on there, had to cancel, but everyone else is still coming, so it looks like it's going to be great. So I'm pretty into that.
Because that soundtrack, like, transcends anime fandom, even, like, nerd fandom. Like, people just love that soundtrack. It's really awesome. Other good guests? I mean, actually, I should probably stop taking...
I was just going to say Toru Furia.
Yeah, the Laid Back Camp crew, they have the producer there, they have the director there, they have one of the voice actors there, and it's a series that's, you know, done very well. I mean, people love it. It's kind of, in Japan, it's actually having influence in making people want to go camping.
It's very successful.
And even, like, the manga is nominated for an Eisner, and so, like, it'd be cool to kind of pick their brain, because I think that it's a very faithful and very kind of lovingly done adaptation, so it'd be interesting to see kind of both the response they get, because, you know, internet fandom is not necessarily convention fandom, and also just to kind of pick their brains if possible.
The one thing I wanted to mention guest-wise was they finally did it. I remember our friend Jam Jam was at Q&A in, like, Han Feedback Panel, and he's like, every year I go, if you just put the Japanese guest name, other than a handful of names, most people aren't going to go because they don't know who they are or what they've done. So you've got to put some show as well as their name.
Yeah.
And this year, most of the guests who aren't Masao Maruyama or Trigger, they did that.
Yeah, so Sayuri Hara, who's the girl that's in Laid Back Camp, her panel's called Sayuri Hara's Journey to Joining Laid Back Camp. It's like, there you go.
You finally did it.
Ah, that's brutal. So her panel, the Denpa manga panel, and Toru Furia's panel are all against each other.
Oh. Which show do you love more?
I might not do the Furia panel just because I've been to one already. And so
Kikuko Inoue's panel is mixed panel with Kikuko Inoue. At least one of them is. So that's the show she's there for. Oh, she has her own panel that's just her, too. There's a lot of good stuff this year, so, yeah.
But I wanted to mention that change.
No, it was good.
Because I think I'm really curious to see how the crowds are different with that in place. Because I feel like it really helped out the Japanese guests at Anime Next when they implemented it. You know, I don't think every Japanese panel is going to be turning people away.
The lineup for Mix is going to be huge, man. You don't know.
But I feel like they might not be as ghost towny as they sometimes are.
Oh, I remember the big one, which is kind of big, but also not big, is Masaru Maruyama, who is usually there every year, but I believe wasn't there last year. He couldn't make it, and, you know, he's getting up in his years, so we're always a little worried that are the number of Otakons he's available for counting, like, kind of dwindling down. But he's here, and, you know, MAPPA has done a bunch of new shows this past year. His other studio, whose name I forget.
M2?
And, yeah, I think that's it. And so having him be at the top of all these big things going on, I think it's always worth it to go ask him questions because he has been industry since like the mid-70s.
He has been in the anime industry since the anime industry has existed. He started at Mushi Pro.
Yes, yeah. And then Madhouse was founded in like the early mid-70s. Anyway, if you've never been to a Masaru Maruyama panel before, I implore you to go because he is like a fount of knowledge when it comes to anime in a way that very few people are.
And he'll answer the questions.
Yeah, plus I feel that Zombieland Saga and Sarazanmai are definitely two series that I'd like to know about from like a producer studio level.
Yeah.
Because they're both, whenever people give Ikahara a chance, it's always, I know that Cygames threw a lot of money into Zombieland Saga, but even then, that is still a really, really weird show. I am super curious how that came together. And he is not only the guy who would know that, but might actually tell you more than you would expect.
He is sufficiently old that he doesn't feel held back by etiquette and risk. Like, he basically will give it to you straight.
So, there are a lot of panels and other kind of events. So, if everybody could limit them to about three of things that stand out for you that are just interesting, or man, people should really check this out, or just they're cool for me.
So I was kind of going through this schedule. So one of the things this year is a lot of the kind of mainstay panelist types didn't get a lot of panels. So there's a lot of, it seems like, fresh blood on this schedule. So I'm very curious about it. One example, let me get the title correctly because it was, I'm very curious about it. It's a Gundam panel. It's got an interesting thesis. It's The Chronicles of Bright Noah, an introspective look at the Universal Century. And it's like one of the last panels on Sunday. I don't know who's doing it. It stood out to me because it's like, if it is actually going through the Universal Century through the perspective of Bright, that's actually super interesting. And if it's done well, I want to check it out. It's a Gundam panel, so it could be terrible, I hate to say, but I hope it's good.
Yeah, it's such an interesting premise. Like, just the idea that Bright is sort of this, like, everyman in a lofty position in a way that's very different from, like, Amuro or anyone else in series.
And he's there the whole time. He's in everything through Unicorn. All the important stuff in the Universal Century through Unicorn, he's there for. So it's...
Oh, and they're also making the Hathaway's lap.
He's essential to the next thing they're doing. So it's like, oh, this is a really interesting thesis, so I'm very curious about it. So are we? Do you want me to just do all of mine at once?
This is one, right? It's on a panel, and it kind of intrigues me, right? I believe it's either Friday or Saturday morning. There's something called Saturday Morning Cartoon J. Like, what is this, right? And if you read the description, it's apparently anime subtitled, or Japanese English subtitles, that aired on U.S. television at different parts of the country. And I think they're planning on showing it with the old commercials and everything. So it's like, you can kind of go back in time to, like, I don't know, Hawaii or whatever, or California, those places that actually showed, like, anime at the time, and be able to experience what it was like to watch those shows and the kind of... Yeah,
that sounds cool as hell.
Yeah, no, it sounds cool, right? Like, it's a thing, I think it's a pretty long block, maybe like 2 or more hours.
It's Saturday morning and there's a sub and a dub block.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool, right? Like, it just seems like a great thing to check out, especially because for anyone who, like, is curious about what it was like to kind of be in anime fandom in times before your own.
I just swore, seeing that it was just going to be American.
I know.
Like, I guess I've just been, like, so burnt that, like, oh, but also let's have American Voltron and King Arthur and the Knights of Justice and Rescue Rangers.
It's so funny. At first I read it almost backwards and it would have been even more interesting block, but still really good. I thought it was saying it was American cartoons that aired in Japan.
Also would be interesting, but yeah.
So yeah, that's one thing I wanted to maybe check out. I just see if I'm able to wake up at 9 and get to the... I mean, it'd probably be okay. I could probably wake up in time, but that's something I think that would be really interesting to check out.
I can say with confidence that I would not make it in time, but I would love to.
I am impressed, although kind of like Pat's, I'm like, we'll see how this goes, but I'm really happy that they have a Yurusa Yatsura panel, especially since that just came back into print, and hopefully Viz will finish it this time.
I might know the person doing that, but I can't remember.
I mean, I did that review of Mix, and it's just interesting how, like, for a time, both in Japan and the U.S., Rumukiyo Takahashi was this, like, she was actually the richest woman in Japan just by how successful her manga were. And she's still, like, a, you know, she just won an Eisner.
She got put in the Hall of Fame. She's one of, like, six mangaka that are in the Hall of Fame and the only woman.
So it's not like she's nobody anymore. I think Mix is an interesting kind of return to form, but also a little bit of a new twist on what she normally does. But I think it's just interesting to go back to the series that kind of made her like a superstar. Mm. And I really like that series. Like, once again, with those Gundam panels, whenever you go into a panel like that, you kind of roll the dice. But for her, I'm willing to try that out.
I'd be really fascinated if it was just a bunch of, like, young, like, say, like, 18-year-olds kind of suddenly discovered Urusei. I have no idea what the panels are like. It's like a bunch of 18-year-olds discovered Urusei Yatsura, and they're, like, they really want to do a panel about it, because, like, with a lot of old shows kind of coming back and stuff, you know, there's a new potential perspective, sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse, sometimes mixed. And so, yeah, especially because I think what you're saying is that Takahashi, it's almost like the first generation of fans, I think, where, like, a Takahashi manga or show wasn't just, like, dominating anime fan. We all remember the 5 million Inuyasha cosplayers that used to exist at cons.
I used to joke that you could walk into an anime con karaoke room at any time, and it would be a girl singing an ending theme from Inuyasha. Because for probably 10 years, that's what it was. Because they're all love songs.
And just before that, Ranma, like, we were, most of us here were either just getting into fandom or, like, not really, like, major con-goers, but I feel like Ranma had that same dominance over the fandom.
Yeah, definitely. So my next one, there's a panel on Saturday morning, which is, again, in the Will I Make It Up in Time, because it's at 10:15. It's Otaku at the Library of Congress, which sounds pretty cool, because it's about, like, the Library of Congress and all of the, like, just how much shit is there and how much, like, history and weeby shit is actually in the Library of Congress. And, like, I'm hoping this means it's being done by an actual librarian or a research scientist of some kind. Very curious to check that out. It sounds like a really cool concept. And this goes to that same, oh, it's people doing different stuff at the con. This is the kind of thing I'm there for.
I think it's easy to underestimate how it's also appropriate for Washington DC convention to be talking about it.
Yes,
I think just in general, even putting aside anime and manga, the Library of Congress is, like, this gigantic resource. And now that you're mentioning this panel, I am very curious about it. And so I have to kind of now decide between that and Saturday morning cartoons.
Well, if you get up early, you can catch an hour of Saturday morning cartoons and then go to the library panel.
That is true.
Which is really the right way to do Saturday morning cartoons. Watch it until you have to run out.
This is a kind of a side point, right? But the panel descriptions right now on the site don't have the people who are doing it. They haven't listed.
Always been a problem with Otakon.
So it's one of the things where some panelists, I think, are aware of this, and so they put their name into the panel descriptions.
Yeah. Like, I would love it if this if it was done by, like, a lot. It says library experts. But if that was, like, if that means they're librarians and research scientists, that kind of thing, that should be in the description. Yeah.
Not, I go to the library every week.
Yeah, exactly. Not that that person can't know and be able to share that information. It's just knowing that, like, knowing it's that kind of person adds to the draw to me. So if it is that kind of person, I want to know.
I have not checked it out, but if we're talking about how there's not a lot of, like, a lot of the old hats when it comes to panel presentation aren't there as much. Apparently, Gerald from AWO, Anime World Order, like, got his panel approved, like, last second. So he's doing anime and non-anime, which is something I've heard of, but have never been able to go. Like, basically the premise is, like, moments in, like, say, like, regular television or movies or in, like, advertisement media and stuff where anime shows up. Basically, it shows up in places where the fandom doesn't necessarily have a strong presence, and it's kind of an interesting idea.
But, like, a wrestler will come out and he'll have, like, a Dragon Ball Z character.
Yes,
on
stuff like that, yeah. And, like, or if it shows up in the background of a cartoon, like a random cartoon, kind of very subtle under the table sort of thing.
Or the gunpla in the old Linkin Park music videos.
Yeah, stuff like that. So I think it is, I've heard about it. Again, I've heard about the panel for a while from previous years, but I never had the chance to see it, so I want to make an effort to see it this year.
And I think Gerald does go out of his way to make at least, like, half of that panel always, like, stuff from the last year.
Yeah, so I think, I mean, I have confidence, and AWO at this point does panels and does panels well, so.
I think I'm just going to go for all the risky safety panels. This is the IOEA Presents What's Comic-Con panel.
Oh.
It seems a little, like, Japanese government-y. What is Comic-Con?
Cool Japan talking about Comic-Con.
But I'm really curious what they present. I've never been to Comic-Con. I think you two both have.
I've never been to Comic-Con.
Oh, wow.
I've been to many doujin events in Japan, yeah. But I've never missed it. Like, in fact, the first time I was in Japan, I basically had to leave the week before Comic Market. So, something that I have plans to go to at some point, but still have never gone to it proper.
I just assumed.
Yeah. So would I.
I feel like it's almost like you have to make the one trip to Mecca in your lifetime. Yeah. I feel like I want to go at least once, so I'm curious what they have to say.
Yeah. I've been to one of my Otaku Mecca before, but that'll come up in a different part of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's go back to this could either be good or terrible, and that is, it's another Sunday morning panel. And that is genderqueer representation in anime. It's another one. It doesn't say who's doing it in the description or anything. But I think it could be... This is one that, if handled really well, could be a very interesting topic to discuss. A very worthwhile topic to discuss. And I'm very, very interested in it. As long as it's coming from a very genuine place with what it's talking about.
I also had that my list of things to look at and check out. And I mean, using the word genderqueer in itself is a good sign.
That's actually, like, I was talking to someone else about this panel, and that's literally what I said to them. The fact that they're using genderqueer is a good sign.
And I think that, I think anime manga has a very complex relationship with that, and to kind of dive into it honestly with, like, you know, not to say that you should be without agenda or anything like that, but to kind of look at the complexities of, like, you have a long history of, like, cross-dressing characters, you have this and that, and the way in which those characters are both kind of... can often be at times be like ahead of their time, but also kind of behind the times. It does create for an interesting conversation that I'd want to see done well.
Yeah. I also feel that, especially just with how anime fandom has developed over, especially the last decade, I doubt you're going to get the classical six super straight white guys talk about it. Yeah. That, you know, I think is usually what people worry about.
I'm hoping not. Yeah, so... Fingers crossed.
I feel like you have a better chance of that not happening than you say would at a comic convention. Even not that is as common as it used to be.
Yeah, true.
I guess I should be super duper on brand and say that I'm really curious about Abracadabra, Magical Systems in Anime.
Ooh, that is very Al.
I mean, last year it was the... Let's play a tabletop role-playing game. This year, it's let's talk about magical systems, which, I mean, you know, if this is your first time listening to the Speakeasy or something that I've been on, I don't really have to explain anymore. It is pretty much like, oh, you're not doing that panel? Huh, weird.
I want to check out, and I don't know who's running it. There's like an anime and wrestling panel. And
oh, yeah, I saw that, too.
I'm not sure what I've seen, say, Daryl Surratt's anime and wrestling.
This one's not him.
Not him, and which took a certain perspective, but I would like to see, like, someone go through the history of wrestling in anime, both in terms of wrestling shows based about on wrestling, and also the amount of wrestling that comes up in anime and manga. Like, it actually is more prolific than anyone I think realizes.
Yes. And I know you've mentioned several times in the past that just, this is a wrestling reference that a lot of people might not get just because, like, a lot of the fan... It's increasing, but a lot of the fandom isn't big wrestling fans, and so they miss, oh, this is an American, or this is a Japanese wrestling reference, and it's a lot more common in just regular anime and manga, not just wrestling anime and manga, than you might assume.
Yeah, like, the Laidback Camp uses the word babyface and heel at one point, so, like, if it even gets into Laidback Camp, what else will it get into? But we'll see. I mean, even if it's just a straight-up, this is a panel about Kinnikuman and Tiger Mask and where the heck, that's still going to be a fun panel that I'd like to check out.
I did notice that since you mentioned it, it seems also one of those weird panels that, because I've seen that panel several times, and it's almost never done by the same person or group twice.
I guess it's a evergreen topic, but...
I feel like usually if you like, oh, it's going to be the wrestling in anime guy/girl. But I feel like it's one of those few panels that I see it, every, like, either every year or every other year. It's always done by someone different. So is there anybody have any last thought or point they want to bring up other than hope to see you at Otakon?
You can come to our panels. I am doing Gundam for Newbies with Friends of the Cockpit, my co-host Tom and Doug, who's been on that show in the past, I think, where we talk about how to get into Gundam. That's on Saturday afternoon. And then I'm also on Carl's panel that he can tell you about.
So all three of us are actually going to be on the same panel. Actually, before I say that, I want to say that I hope you make a joke about watching it in chronological order, because that's something you hear all the time and is the worst idea possible for Gundam.
I don't know. Production order is the way you watch Gundam.
All three of us are going to be on the same panel. We're doing a panel called Star-Crossed Alien Lovers in Robots, or in Giant Robots, I can't remember exactly. And it's about the use of the theme of star-crossed lovers in mecha anime.
That is Sunday at 12.
And, I mean, it's something, it's kind of a branching off of a panel I did with Alan Spawn a Time, which is a giant robot romance in giant robot anime. I think that having more specific theme allows us to kind of look at the way that romance is used in these series to kind of promote certain ideas or certain beliefs.
Plus, so much mecha anime is about war, so you're definitely going to have a lot of, oh, these two people who are in love are on opposite sides of the conflict. So I feel like it's definitely a genre that makes itself very suitable for the topic.
Yes, yes. And I think that not enough is maybe talked about in terms of the human relationships in giant robot things. Like, a lot of the panels traditionally about giant robots and mecha at cons is just like, who would win in a fight? Which is the most awesome? Let's go through a history of what makes each of these robots awesome. And the more human aspect is something that is part of what makes mecha interesting. And I think more people... I think it's worth knowing for more people, and I'm hoping that we do a good job of conveying that.
Katz, the secret answer is you start Gundam by starting with Gundam NT and working backwards through the Universal Century, right?
Yeah, you watch it in reverse chronological order from Gundam NT. And then it'll all make the most sense.
It's a reverse chronological order, though, would probably be Victory Gundam first.
No, you start it in... That's a different experience.
Yes.
That's the advanced course.
That's the you-hate-everything course. Yeah. And I'm doing one other panel at the con. It's called Genshiken and Beyond, the Works of Kiyoshimoku. I, the blogger of OguiManiacs.com, named after a Genshiken character, have happening to do a panel about the author of Genshiken. I've done some Genshiken panels before, but this one, I felt like, you know, at this point, he's mostly known as a Genshiken guy in America, and even I kind of think of him primarily as that, but he has a history with other manga before and after Genshiken, so I wanted to bring a lot of that out into the open. You're going to see, basically, I'm going through like literally everything he's ever done in manga, and just kind of give an idea of like why he is one of my favorite artists and creators ever. Oh, what's it? There's something I said I was gonna bring up something in later, and I think it had to do with this panel, but I can't remember why I said that anymore. Like, I was like, oh, well, this will come up later.
You're doing a panel too, aren't you, Al?
Yes, me and Kate, who is not dead, she's alive.
No, that's good.
And still doing anime stuff and still coming to conventions. We are doing new anime for older fans. We're trying out the new format that I used last year, hopefully with less technical problems that don't have me crying at the front of the panel room for the first 3 minutes.
That since Kate is back on the panel, we'll have a little bit of a more balanced selection other than the Super Al focus theme, which was kind of my purpose of doing it last year. And once again, it's shows from the last 5 years that I think are for people who are college age and up that I feel sometimes that group feels underserved with the prolific amount of shows about kids who are in high school or younger.
Yeah, it's a good panel. Go to that one, too. Go to all of our panels.
I was just thinking about this. The fact that you said it for the past 5 years really sets it and establishes it as a panel for older fans, because there are a lot of younger fans who their entire anime fandom is 5 years long. So it's like 5 years is for some people, basically for older people, I think tendency, 5 years is a new show. And for younger fans, 5 years ago is ancient history. So I think it's a very like good point at which to say that, to kind of establish the ground rules of the panel.
Plus, I feel like I've known so many older fans who just stop keeping up with stuff and just retreat into the shows that they love. And so I feel like
hopefully, like every once in a while, you do wonder, like, what are the kids watching that's actually good?
Yeah, what are the kids these days into?
All three of us will be around. I know all three of us are always usually pretty busy, but we're always there to say hello, even maybe if it's for 5 minutes at most.
Yeah, if you come to our panels, you can definitely say hello. If you come to the panels we mentioned, there is a 50% chance we'll be there, especially me. So yeah, say hello if you see us.
All right, and everybody who can be at Otakon, we hope to see you there. And if not, we'll probably at least... I probably won't have a full podcast, but I'll hopefully be on somebody else's Otakon podcast.
Okay, see you the same Gorg time, same Gorg channel, or whatever it was. Yeah.
Let's die.